In the Common English Bible, verse 6 that I just read said, we have different gifts that are consistent with God's grace that has been given to us. If your gift is prophecy, you should prophesy in proportion to your faith. There are many definitions that kind of come to mind when we think of the word prophecy. But prophecy is so central to all of what religion is about that there's a mystery there, and that will always be there as we're exploring it, because we're only exploring what God is revealing to us. We can only wrap our minds around it so much at a time. As we go through life, we get more faith and more experience with all of these things, and they become a little more clear. We're always trying to hear what God is saying to us, but that's what the Bible and prophecy are all about, that we might hear what God is saying to us. When we read the Scriptures, that's what we need to read for, is to hear what God is trying to say to us for that day and through that word for Him. That's what makes it so sacred, isn't it? Because God is speaking to us through that. That's what prophecy is. It could be defined as speaking forth the mind and counsel of God. We think sometimes in terms of foretelling the future, and that might be in some cases that in the Scriptures has been a part of it and comes within that category of prophecy, but that's not the main thing, and that's not all of what prophecy is about. But there is that forward thinking that the prophets of the Bible had, that we have as we minister the gift of prophecy. That we're looking for the future. We might look at the past, but look at it so that we can draw from it as we look forward into the future. And as we look forward ultimately to the time when we're all reunited in heaven and all the victory has been completed and we are all sharing that and celebrating that around the marriage supper of the Lamb or on the golden streets and all the other imagery the Bible gives us to help draw us into the future. Keep our minds and spirits looking forward to what God is doing for us today, tomorrow, and leading us in this journey of spiritual mystery. It's a revelation of the divine mysteries. God is trying to help us to be able to receive the mysteries and be a part of the mysteries of the spiritual realm of life, that our joy might be full, that we might be able to be transformed by all of this into all that God ever made us to be in the first place, and to have the joy of His perfect love. So the Bible, we think of in terms of prophecy, and it tells us itself that that's what it's about, that holy men of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And the Bible tells us that blessed are those that hear these words read or that read them. Not anybody should take anything away from the writings of this prophecy or add anything to them. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. God has breathed life into these words, and through them He speaks to us. That's really what makes them sacred. You know, we're not all on the same page, even probably in this room, and certainly across the body of Christ, as to how all of this came about and where these words come from and how they should all be interpreted. But we can all be, I think, on the same page that God is speaking to us through these, because anybody that reads the Bible is going to hear God making some kind of impression on your heart and soul that transcends any differences of opinion about what we think it means or anything else about it. We can listen to what God is saying to us through these words. And that is the prophecy. That's where the prophecy, the prophetic word of God, comes in. When we think about prophecy, we think about it in terms of time. Time for God is eternal. God sits in eternity. And so past, present, and future are like what we sang in the opening hymn. Across all those wide extended plains shines one eternal day. They all kind of come together there. And that's why when we read in the prophecies of the Old Testament prophets, we can see how they spoke to the people of their time, and those prophecies came true for them But then we can see that they came true again in later times. But then we can see how then they are coming true again in our time, and they will continue to come true in other people's times as the prophecies unfold, because they're for eternity. They're for past, present, and future all brought together. They have a symbolic aspect also, like in the book of Revelation says several times, there was a silence in heaven for the space of half an hour. Their Bible speaks of seasons and weeks, like in Daniel, in the prophecies of Daniel, the weeks and years, and angels standing with one foot on the earth and one in the sea, and declares that time shall be no more. The purpose of prophecy is, one of the purposes, to show us the things that God wants to reveal to us, the things which were, which are, and which are to come. And God's love for humanity. When Jesus quoted Isaiah one time, he said, "By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and not perceive." This is a warning that is also a part of what prophecy is. Remember that story about Jonah, how he warned the people of Nineveh? And so there's a whole story there about his travel to Nineveh and all of the things that happened with the whale and with the plant afterward. But the whole point of Jonah's trip to Nineveh was to warn those people that they had come down to the last 40 days, that they were running out of time. They had only 40 days left to either get right or be in big trouble. And that was his warning to them. Ezekiel, in his prophecy of the gap in the hedge, the people of this land have used oppression and exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and the needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And I sought for a man among them that would make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath, and their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord. And the watchman of Ezekiel, God said that if danger comes and if the watchman blows the horn to warn the people and they heed not the warning, then their blood is on their own heads. But if he sees the trouble and he blows not the trumpet to warn the people, then their blood will be required at the watchman's hand. The purpose of prophecy is also to reveal the secret mysteries of life. Father Miller, who was a monk at St. Meinrad several decades ago, he and I exchanged a lot of letters. He was insightful with the book of Ephesians, and especially this one part about the fellowship of the mystery. To make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Prophecy is there to help us to see the right path that leads to life. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The great commandment Jesus gave in Matthew, he said, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. The golden rule, do unto others as you would have others do unto you. For this is the law and the prophets. And he went on from there to talk about the straight and narrow way. There is one way that is broad and leads to destruction, and many people find that path, but straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find. But beware then of false prophets, which come in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravening wolves. These are the purposes of prophecy, revelation, and guidance for us. When we practice the gift of prophecy and minister that, we do so in the context of love. Let love be without dissimulation. Paul wrote, "And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so I could remove mountains, have not charity, I am nothing." We speak what God lays on our hearts. I praise God that He laid it on my heart preach on these spiritual gifts. I'm excited about that, and I hope that we will be blessed by that, and that we will each hear God speaking to our hearts about what He is laying on our hearts, each one of us, as we reflect on these gifts and this gift of prophecy. Thus saith the Lord. 431 times the phrase is found in the Bible. And the Lord spake unto Moses, Go to Pharaoh and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Let my people go, that they may serve me. And all the other ways that God has said that through the prophets in the Bible, speaking as the mouthpiece of the Lord, the oracles of God. Isaiah said, Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Amos, Micah, all of these other prophets in the Old Testament spoke not just what their opinion was or what they thought would be informative and helpful, but what God laid on their heart as He spoke through them the prophetic word, Thus saith the Lord, as a channel for God to speak through them. We want our channel to be clear, don't we? So that we're not speaking our partisanship and we're not trying to promote our agenda. We're not trying to muddle up the Word of God with our own manipulations, but to be a clear channel for the Word of God, the pure Word of God to be proclaimed. Like the band of prophets and the writers of the Word and the preachers down through the ages. And then in this passage it said that we should prophesy according to the proportion of our faith. John Wesley was very much affected by this book of Romans in his understanding of faith. And on that verse, 12:6 in Romans, he wrote to be expounding on the Scripture and have an analogy of our faith where we are taking various passages of Scripture and we are putting them together in the right way so as to be able to relate them one to another and hear what God is saying to us through them and understand them better and then to relate them to circumstances of life. And that's what he was seeing here as that preaching gospel in proportion to the faith and ministering that gift of prophecy. So that we would discover, and here's his way, he wrote it, the grand truths which run through the whole of Scripture. That proportion of our faith is that ministry of according to the measure of faith that we have. How we have experienced grace in our lives. We've experienced a lot of grace. We want to have a lot of experience with grace to share with others and to help us to be able to bring out that prophetic word and to share that grace with others and how our faith has grown over time and through the circumstances that we have experienced and how God has been working in our lives. To minister the prophecy gift, we've got to be in touch with God and be able to get His word from His throne, let it flow through us purely, and let it move through us according to our experiences of faith and how we have been in relationship with God ourselves. According to our current level of understanding, there is a calling. The call to minister the gift of prophecy is, at one level, a corporate call. It's given to the church. The whole church is called to minister the gift of prophecy. And the most recent example, I have of it is right here this morning in this service. I just felt like that God was speaking through all the different people who spoke during the service this morning, didn't you? And so that's why I don't feel too bad about going over a little bit, just because I felt like God was speaking through every person here to us. And then the next one back from that was yesterday when Bonnie was passing out those books at the yard sale and giving everybody one so that they could have that because in there is the Bible verses and devotionals that people have written about that and prayers and people would hear the Word of God if they open that up and read that, which a lot of people are going to do that. Somebody's going to do it. Amen? And so that is what it is when we are ministering the word. We're all called to ministry through baptism, and prophecy is given to the whole church. We share a common responsibility to make sure that a prophetic word of God is shared with each other and the world around us. It's also a personal aspect to this, as that prophecy, for some of us, is really primary to our whole sense of calling and identity, the call to preach. The prophets of the Bible, think about how they were called. Moses in the burning bush, Samuel and the voice at night, Isaiah in the temple, Elijah and throwing his mantle down to Elisha as he was carried away in a fiery chariot, and Elisha took up the prophetic cause. And the major and minor prophetic books, when we read about how they were called, and John the Baptist, a man sent from God. In our tradition as Methodists, people have passed down to us that we have a right to hear the Word of God preached by persons who are divinely called. In our discipline today, in the Constitution, in the Articles of Faith, and in the definition of the local church, all repeat this, that the church is the redeemed and redeeming fellowship in which the Word of God is preached by persons divinely called. God still calls people to preach the Word. At annual conference, at the ordination service, at the end of it, the bishop gave an invitation. He said, if anybody feels that God is calling you to preach, he said he would like for them to come forward, to present themselves, to surrender to that call to preach. And two people came forward and presented themselves to preach. A friend said, I have this problem. God called me to be a prophet. But every time I go up to somebody and I say, I'm a prophet, then they say, so what? Or they say, no, you're not. Or they say, go away. They said, I'm not getting any traction there. So I said, I started going around to churches. And I go in there in their service and I say, God made me a prophet. And I'm a prophet. And they would say, and now you have to leave. So I said, what am I supposed to do? And I said, did God call you to go around and tell everybody that you're a prophet? Or did God call you to be a prophet? He began to look at it a little different then, and I hope we all can look at it a little differently then. The gift of prophecy is not given for us to build ourselves up or promote ourselves, but it is for us to speak the Word of God in ways that will be helpful and meaningful to the people around us, that we might preach the Word of God in truth. And it may be in many of the various opportunities that we have, it may be as this primary gift. I believe that God calls people to preach because God called me to preach. And I believe that God is calling us to move forward with these gifts that He gives us. And some like this is our primary focus in our life. For some, the gift of prophecy is one that helps to fulfill another gift or calling. All of these gifts, spiritual gifts, need the gift of prophecy in order to help fulfill them. For St. Paul the Apostle, that was his main job, and prophecy supported that. Timothy, as a pastor and teacher, that was his main gift, but the gift of prophecy was his to support that as well. And evangelism, St. John, he received the revelation of Jesus Christ. His job, main job, was to be an apostle and an evangelist. And those were his primary gifts, but look at the revelation of Jesus Christ and the letters that he wrote, the letters of St. John in the Bible, the prophecy and the Word of God. Or for others, it is supportive that when the need arises, then we speak a word from the Lord. Paul said, put on the whole armor of God, and a piece of that armor was that your feet be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We use the gift of prophecy to support whatever work God has given us to do. So this is the invitation of this gift. To pursue love and use your ambition to try to get spiritual gifts, but especially so that you might prophesy. 1 Corinthians 14:1. That we will accept that gift of prophecy from the Holy Spirit, however it is being offered, and cultivate our knowledge and skill in using it. Study and show ourselves approved unto God, a workman not needed to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Incorporate the ideas and counsel of Jesus into all of our conversations. When we do, then we're exercising that gift, the gift of prophecy. And to the extent we are doing that, then that is the proportion of our faith.